power of the Spirit is not something of the past. The power of the Spirit is not something that prevailed only in the early church. And those of you who think of the power of the Spirit in terms of ancient history are missing a force, an energy, an ability to do great things here and now. Let's examine a little more carefully. What is this power that the Spirit gives us? Why is it given to us? What can we do and how can we release more of it? Our first introduction to power is as an attribute of God. As we all know, the power attribute is in one of the four attributes of God, as in Jeremiah 51:15. It is He who made the earth by His power, who established the world by His wisdom and by His understanding. He stretcheth out the heavens, for the maker of all is He. His power rules the universe, Revelation 4. His power keeps watch over the nations, Psalm 66:7. His power translated the Logos to the Son of Man, Luke 1:35. His power brought about Christ's miracles, Luke 11:22. His power brought about Christ, His resurrection in 2 Corinthians 13:4. And will be the means by which He will resurrect all people, 1 Corinthians 6:14. But it is His power that is working in us through His Spirit that we can call spiritual power, as it comes from God to those who are Spirit-begotten. Luke 24:49, Jesus said, "And behold, I am sending forth the promise of My Father unto you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And in John 14:16, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever," that is the Spirit of truth. Our Lord promises us the spiritual power to meet the demands and the problems that we will encounter as we are journeying in the narrow way, as we are journeying in our way to God Himself. And the power comes from the Spirit which is within you in Acts 1:8, which states, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you." I think we've established quite clearly where this power comes from. It's within you, but it's the Spirit in you. It's not the natural man. It is the Spirit in you that God has given to you that can do great things. And it is also a gift. In the Scriptures, it speaks of it in two ways. It is either the gift of the Spirit, or it is spiritual gifts. Let me explain. There are three basic reasons why the Lord grants His Spirit, or in the early church, why the Spirit was granted. First, it was to confirm Christ's ascension and God's acceptance of His redemption. John 16:7. "When I depart, I will send the Comforter to you." Acts 2:32-33. "This Jesus God set up, raised up, and set at the right hand of God." The first reason why the Spirit was looked forward to is because it was the evidence that our Lord had ascended and was accepted by God. Second reason was the granting of the Spirit was to start a spiritual family. the call of the church from among human prospects. We know this is the general call. This meant there was an invitation to be members of a spiritual family. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, we are all made to drink of one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. Then there's a third reason for the granting of the Spirit. It was to establish the church in a very special way. Remember, the early church had some special problems. They had problems that we are not faced with today. For example, there was no complete Bible, as we know the Bible today. There was no written gospel, as we know it today. People had little education. The literacy was very low. The gospel was spread by word of mouth. Also, the whole society at that time was, in many ways, antichrist. Paganism was strong. Hinduism and a host of Hinduisms. And the governments. The early church had a need for public signs. The church had a need for more visible elements to promote and to develop themselves as a church. And therefore, God made a very special arrangement at that time, which is termed spiritual gifts, as a sure way to get the church established. Romans 1:11, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established. And gift here is translated in Romans 1:11 from the Greek charisma, Strong's 5486, which means endowment for miraculous powers. But from Acts 2:38, when Peter says, be baptized and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, gift here is translated from the Greek dorie, which is Strong's 1431, which means gratuity, a present, a bestowal, or something which is stored. I like that. Something which is stored. An endowment which has potential. Thus we have the gift of the Spirit from Acts 2:38, differentiated from the spiritual gifts from Romans 1:11. The gift of the Spirit, dorie, is given to all believers. But the spiritual gifts, charisma, is given to a select few, at least in the early church. The gift of the Spirit is baptism by our Lord, dorie. The spiritual gifts, charisma, was a special baptism by the apostles through the laying of hands. The gift of the Spirit, dorie, is confirmed by the fruits of the Spirit. This is how we know you have the gift of the Spirit, dorie, is by the fruits that you exhibit. The spiritual gifts, charisma, is confirmed by supernatural interventions, such as healing, tongue speaking, and prophecies, and super knowledge. The gift of the Spirit, dorie, is an internal matter. The spiritual gifts, charisma, is an external. It is an outward manifestation. It does all kinds of powerful interventions of the natural phenomena. This is the reason why charismatics today, I'm sure you're familiar with them as a group, charismatics look to healing and look to other forms of supernatural phenomena, because they need to enrich their faith with external exhibitions. My own view is they lack the internal or spiritual perception to do this. Their spiritual life is weak. And in some cases, their spiritual life is boring. And so they need this excitement. They need tongue speaking, or what they call tongue speaking. They need the rolling. And they say, see, see, that person has the Spirit. Can't you see it? There's an exhibition of it. The Lord says, by the fruits you will know them. They say, we will know them by their tongue speaking. We will know them by their prophetic utterances. We will know them by their healings. What I'm saying, friends, there are two separate differentiations in the power of the Spirit. One given in the early church, both were given in the early church to all believers, and then one in terms of what it was to do within them and the other which was to do outside. And there was a special need. It's my view that that second charisma is seldom being used by our Lord today. I can't say it's absolutely not, because I don't know for sure, except my own experiences tell me that I don't believe those gifts are being allocated today. And so we're looking now for the gift of the Spirit, Dorie. This is our endowment. This is what we have within us. It is latent power. It is potential power. It is stored power. It is a bestowal that is given to us, and it stores within us the force that we will need. When Paul said to Timothy in verse 6, that thou stir up the gift of God within you, I believe he was referring to both spiritual gifts and also the gift of the Spirit. Because Paul had, by laying on the hands on Timothy, had given him these. But as we begin to apply it to us, we find that we can only look at the other. But at least in Timothy's case, he was asking to rekindle again this inner spiritual fire. When it comes to the gift of the Spirit, Dorie, we are like Timothy. We have this latent power from God, this stored power, this potential power. It can diminish and it can increase. But Paul says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the ability to release this capacity, to do many things with it, the force to move us, move ahead, and to move obstacles, the energy to accomplish much. And let me just, very briefly, because time is limited, what is this power within us that we could use and that we can do? I like the text in Luke 3:16, which states, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And so he would suggest to you that the power of the Spirit is fire. Now here we get a first clarification of what the power of the Spirit means. It means fire. And I don't think I have to describe to you what fire is. And if you double check the translations, you will see they all carry the word fire. He will baptize you with Spirit and fire. Fire is a cleansing agent, a purifying agent, a freedom agent, as it not only washes away the sins of the past, the transgressions of our early lives, but it frees us. It disconnects us from the shackles and the restraints of the past. The fire frees us. It liberates us from the commitments and the chains that have entangled us all our lives. And when our Lord says, forgive one another, he was speaking more than the principle of living in the here and now. He was speaking of disconnect yourself with the past. Free yourself with your former ways. Liberate yourself from the change. Forget the problems and the blunders and the mistakes and the impurities of the past. The fire of the Spirit will cleanse it, will disconnect it like a fire. It will singe it away. It's important, friends, that we emphasize this disconnection with the past and to be free of the past, as the past can be a great hindrance to us. Paul says this in Philippians 3:13. Brethren, do not regard my, I do not regard myself as laying hold of it yet, referring to the mark of the high calling. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. Did Paul have much to remember? Do you think Paul had one who had the need to disconnect from the past? Let me just give you a few of the things that must have been in Paul's mind. Remember, Paul persecuted the church of God under the authorization of the high priest, the same office that brought about the crucifixion of Jesus. Remember, Paul was present at the murder of Stephen, which makes him an accessory to a crime. Remember, Paul had a bitter confrontation with Peter over circumcision and other Jewish customs, and thus alienated himself from the Jewish Christians. Or at least there was a sensitive relationship there. Remember, Paul had an awful argument with his beloved friend Barnabas to a point that they separated. Paul had a difficult time through his entire ministry convincing them that Jesus was selecting him as an apostle. They didn't believe it. They said this was Saul of Tarsus. If he centered on these experiences of the past, if he remembered them constantly, kept them in his mind, it would have diminished his effectiveness in his work. And that's the reason why he says, but this one thing I do. And Paul, as it were, was saying, I am going to forget what lies behind. And I'm going to reach forward to what lies ahead. And I'm going to press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, if Paul continued to remember these things, his attitude would have seriously affected his mission. And what a marvelous apostle, what an inspiration, and what a leader. And I'm personally grateful to the Apostle Paul for these experiences and for telling them to us so that we can emulate the same example. You know, when I say forget the things in the past, I've noticed people, and I'm talking about brethren, having hang-ups. You ever hear of that term, hang-ups? You know what a hang-up is? It's a fixation on something that happened in the past, some past event, or some past behavior that influences and colors and influences your behavior in the present. It influences your decision-making. It influences your fellowship. It's destructive. When Paul says, forgetting what lies behind and look forward, I think he was referring to getting rid of these hang-ups. And so we would suggest the first thing that the fire of the power does, it disconnects you from the past. Let's take the second. Fire consumes. Fire is a consuming agent, which means the spirit within you is a fire that consumes something of you. We believe it consumes the flesh and its interest. Fire consumes the human nature, consumes all but leaves the embryonic spiritual nature. And my friends, this is in itself the making of a miracle. When God invites you to become a member of the divine family, to join him in his residence, you cannot go to him with your physical bodies. You're going to have to get rid of it. You're going to have to leave it behind. It has to be consumed. The fire of the Spirit gives us the power by which consecration can bring this consummation to death and leaves only the new creature. this idea of consecration to death, consuming all but the spirit, is supported by Peter in 1:7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes though it be tried with fire. When gold is put through the fire, two things happen. The impurities and the dross not only are removed, but burned up in the process. That's a key point, friends. The impurities and the dross is not only removed, but it's burned up in the process, and the gold becomes pure. And thus the fire of the Spirit is consuming the earthly components of our nature and the processes which make the gold pure. An active spirit within you is going to cost you something. Consuming your consecration to death will cost you a great deal. But let's take the third, because the fire of the Spirit does more than just disconnect with the past. It does more than consume our consecration to death. It transforms us. The fire of the Spirit is a transforming influence. Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians 1, 4-6. Knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you for our gospel did not come to you in words only, but also in the power of the Holy Spirit to make imitators of us. And also Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which I'm sure we will hear later on. Use the power which is within you. If you don't use it, it will remain stored and idle. Every member of the Lord's people who has received the gift of the Spirit, Dorie, will have this power which is within to do the three things. It will disconnect us from the past. I see this as justification. It will consume our earthly and fleshly nature, which is consecration to death, which is consecration itself, and it will transform us more and more into the Spirit, which I see is sanctification. There is the three basic results of the power that you have within your grasp. It cleanses, it consumes, it transforms.